I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's talk to Sean Merriman right now, and he's here today courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for the most diverse list of well over 1,000 Super Bowl prop bets, including MVP, the length of the national anthem, close to 100 Taylor Swift-related prop bets, broadcast odds, game and player stats, and much more. Now joining us, formerly of the Chargers, played with the Bills as well, Sean Merriman. Sean, how you been?
What's up, my man? How you doing?
Well, I'm fantastic. So let me start you off with your Chargers first. Successful first season, made the playoffs with Jim Harbaugh. Justin Herbert, we know, had a bad postseason game. But I look at that team, I like what Ladd McConkey did, and I kind of say, okay, now they got to go get someone else as well at the wide receiver positions. Give me your thoughts on the Chargers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I don't think, I'm not going to sit here and defend Justin Herbert in the playoffs, right? Because he had a bad year with Jacksonville and then, had a bad game with, Texas coming up. So I think he knows and everybody in the organization knows that he got to play better in those standpoints. But I try to remind people this. This is a 5-1 team last year. This team won five games last year now in the playoffs and possibly in the contention next year to get up there and get back there and to surpass that. And you're right, man. There's some pieces they need to add on the offense side of the ball. Ladd, and I said it before the season, that he was going to be instrumental in those guys' success during the year. I didn't think he was going to be instrumental that fast, coming in as rookie, performing that way. People are going to keep hopping on Quentin Johnston, and he needs to be better and all that. He is much better than he was last year. But I think he's going to probably go in and be a number three wide receiver, but they need to go out and get a number one wide receiver, no doubt about that, because they need somebody that's going to stretch the field and at least pose a threat to that defense that they have the opportunity to throw a deep ball and let McConkey work underneath. And then your third wide receiver is going to be strong, Quentin Johnston.
For people that say that Justin Herbert is overrated, how do you respond to them?
Well, people are going to keep saying that because it's his ability, right? And what he's capable of doing. We know that Justin Herbert has the biggest arm in the National Football League. He does things that, you can say the Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, those guys, he does things that nobody can do because he's such a big quarterback. He's so a physical quarterback. He's a specimen. So he can do things that most quarterbacks, if not any, can do. So he's judged on his capabilities, not what he should do in the playoffs. I mean, his numbers that he put up during the season was historical. He had a historical season when you talk about the turnover ratio, the amount of games and the stats that he put up. Those are historical numbers. But he's going to be based on, just like everything else in this day and age, the rings he wins and how far he gets in the playoffs. And until he does that, people are going to hang that dark cloud over him as long as they can.
We know Reed and Mahomes are the standard, right? Not only in your division, but in all of football. You got to see what year one looks like for Harbaugh and Herbert. Sean Payton got things going this year for the Broncos. What were your thoughts on Bo Nix, who had a very successful rookie season?
Bo Nix, man, I like him a lot. And I hate the fact that he's in a division with the Chargers because that dude, his ceiling, man, he has a tall, tall ceiling because, for one, you see him – like getting better with your own eyes as the season went on. He's just got better decision-making. His leadership ability and how he commands that offense got a lot better. And more importantly, I want to remind people this too, to go back and see when he had the back and forth with Sean Payton and the respect level that these two guys got. Sean Payton didn't have that respect level for Russell Wilson. He didn't have that respect level at all. So it just tells you what that organization thinks about Bo Nix and then also what Sean Payton and that team thinks about him.
It's really murderer's row when it comes to coaches in this division. We talked about the three that were there with this team, with those teams this year. And then the Raiders go out there and add Pete Carroll, which if Pete can't get the foundation set and the Raiders back to just being okay, then, man, it'll be some dark times continuing for the silver and black.
Yeah, but you got to think that, just by his resume, his body of work, the Pete Carroll's going to go in and make that team better. And there's no shot at Antonio Pierce. But he's, when it comes to coaching, the head coaching, he's a rookie. He doesn't have the experience and expertise that a Pete Carroll has and the resume that Pete Carroll has. And one thing we know about Pete Carroll, he's a motivator. He's a guy that can get the most out of every single player. In my opinion, he made Russell Wilson. He made Russell Wilson who he is. In fact, he made Russell Wilson who he is. That other teams believed that Russell Wilson was going to show up the same one it did in Seattle. He never showed up because of what Pete Carroll did. So you gotta feel that he's going to make that organization better. They still got to go out and get a quarterback. And you know, Brock Bowers is a beast. I mean, that dude is next level. He's going to be good for a long time. He's going to give the Chargers hell. But you cannot win in that division without a franchise quarterback.
If you take the draft off the table, since they had the 6th overall pick, let's just say Shador and Cam Ward are both off the table by then. If it came down to Russell Wilson on a 1-year deal for the Raiders, maybe Sam Darnold on a 3- or 4-year deal for the Raiders, if Kirk Cousins becomes available, maybe you can get him on the veteran minimum with how much money he's owed from the Falcons. What do you think out of those three is the best option for Pete Carroll and the Raiders to pursue?
I think the world of Kirk Cousins. You know, I think he's done a tremendous job over his career. But being on the back half of your career, trying to compete in that division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and Bo Nix now that's going to be coming up. Same thing with Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson's best, his biggest attribute at this point in his career is to be, if he wants to continue playing, is to be a backup somewhere, you know, and kind of coach up a young player coming in, be a good support system. And that's if he wants to continue playing, because he could come in and say, look, you know, I don't want to back up anybody, and choose to, you know, make a decision on whether he wants to keep playing football or not. He's made a ton of money. He's a champion. He got all the accolades that you can ask for when you play the game. So he has to make that decision to come in somebody being a backup. I don't see Russell Wilson as a starter in the NFL going forward. I just don't.
So you would go with Sam out of those three options in that
case? I would
go
with Sam. Yeah, absolutely. And people want to lay on Sam because of how he looked in the playoffs, but everybody forget your body of work and you getting there. You don't just cruise through the season and put up those numbers and do what Sam Darnold has done for the Vikings during the season, and now he has a bad game in the playoffs, and let's just throw away the key. We're done with him. It just doesn't work that way. And there's plenty of teams out here, including the Raiders, that will love a Sam Darnold regular season, getting those guys into the playoffs. So if you're going to go with those three, you're looking at Sam Darnold for that.
You had so many good teams with the Chargers, and they had good teams after, right? You left them as well. But unfortunately, we know the Chargers never able to pull through and get there. I know you were at Buffalo to wrap up your career, and how much love, Sean Merriman, you have for Bills Mafia. Does those Bills teams, since you've been there before, like, what can you say when you think it's going to be your year and you have this team that you think is ready to go slay the dragon, like you guys were trying to slay Brady, and like how they're trying to slay Mahomes, and you guys just keep on coming up short? What do you do as a competitor to kind of just stay mentally sane after it happens again?
It's deja vu. For me personally, watching it, you know, it happens with the Bills and having a chance to keep running up against Patrick Mahomes. You know, for us, our pathway was always, let's get past Ben Roethlisberger. Let's get past Peyton Manning. Oh, We gotta see the final boss in Tom Brady, right? It's one of those things that the path to get there is going to be tough as long as those guys are in the plan in the NFL. I think the difference is, in nowadays, is that a lot of guys move around from team to team. Coordinators are gone. We've seen what happened with the Lions. That team for the Lions is dismantled. They got to go and figure it all out again, because both of their coordinators who made that team what they were, nothing against Dan Campbell at all. I think he's a great coach. But those coordinators really set the tone in that locker room and that team. So they got to figure it out again. So, you know, with the Bills, Josh Allen, you're always going to have a chance when he's there. But you got coordinators, you got guys, his contract is up, it's not going to be there. They're going to have to figure it out. And I always say this, man, you got that 4 or 5 year window when you got that nucleus together, that team together. You got an opportunity. You got to start questioning, is the Bills running into that tail end of having an opportunity to go win a championship.
And you know what's crazy, right? The Bills have been right there, and they haven't got the job done. Even the Bengals, who were right there, they got to the Super Bowl, couldn't get the job done when they fell to the Rams. We've seen Lamar and the Ravens be close the last few years as well. If you had to hitch your wagon to one of those three, Burrow, Allen, or Lamar, who do you think will get that ring first, in your opinion?
You got to say Burrow, I would say, because, you know, he's been close enough to get there. You know, they got two tremendous wide receivers. I don't know what's going to happen with Higgins after the season. But they've known they can score a lot of points and match people. They got to go out and beef up that defense a little bit. They were terrible in some parts of the season last year. But it's so hard to say, man, because they're going to keep running up into that same problem.
Yeah.
And that's Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, they're going to keep running up against that no matter who it is. And so until someone figure out how to get over that hump, and that hump being the Kansas City Chiefs, everything else is an uphill battle.
What stands out to you the most about Spagnuolo? I know a coordinator, assistant coach, has never been in the Hall of Fame. He's maybe the best big game coordinator I've ever seen. He has four rings, could get a fifth one after two Sundays from now. And the scary part, and you know this when you watch the Chiefs, we all know they have the best player in the sport in Mahomes, but their best unit and the best side of their ball is actually their defense for the last 2 years. So how about Spags?
You know, it's one thing, and I played for a great defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. One thing about Wade Phillips, he wanted players to do what they're best at, right? So you're not going to be out of position. He's not going to force you to do something you're not great at. He's going to put you in a position to win. Spagnuolo, I think his biggest upside of what makes him a great defensive coordinator is his timing, not just his play calling, but his timing and when he decides to dial blitzes up and the matchmaking of the calls. And it's all about timing with him. And so, you know, you would think certain teams and coordinators would call certain plays in second and five and second and long situations or third and short. His timing on when he brings blitzes and who he brings and where it comes from is impeccable. We haven't seen anybody like that in a long time with Spagnuolo, and that's what really makes him great.
When you look at the hiring cycle, Sean Merriman, what did you make of the Cowboys hiring Brian Schottenheimer?
Well, you know, I played obviously for Marty Schottenheimer, and Brian Schottenheimer was on that staff back with the Chargers. And, you know, I think the world of him, and I think that this is the problem right now that we're getting into. It's the big name coaches hires that really rouse up a fan base and brings new life, and everybody is excited about the season. And because Brian Schottenheimer is not a big name, and he's you know, really an in-house hire, it's not going to get the Cowboys fans excited. So that's where the darkness is coming from. And, oh, here we go again. Or Jerry wants to just control everything. Because ultimately, when you start to see like a Vrabel on the market, when you start to see, you know, Ben Johnson, you start to see these bigger names that's on the market, the fans now want to get excited again. Pete Carroll coming into to the Raiders facility, that's excitement to the fan base that we got a chance. No matter what happens, right? They could go out and stink it up again this year, but it doesn't matter. We got Pete Carroll here, so everybody's feeling good about the season, and the Cowboys fans are just overlooking the fact that a big-name coach didn't come into the mix. Oh, here we go again, right? So I think it was good because you don't want to change that offense too much. You can change the defense, bring in the defensive coordinator, but when you start flip-flopping from Kellen Moore to the offensive coordinator they've had over a certain period of time, you don't want to keep changing that offense because it takes much longer. That's when you start getting into the rebuilding phase. So I think internally, Brian Schottenheimer can go out and get it done. Can he go out and win them a Super Bowl? I don't know, but I think it was a good hire in-house.
So let me ask you this because I want your player perspective on this, Sean Merriman. So Liam Cohen gets hired by the Jaguars. And right at first, it's met with positive reviews because Trent Baalke's out. All right, they get a young, innovative offensive mind in Liam Cohen. And then he speaks to the media and he does the like Duval chant. And it gave like a lot of people the ick. And it was very creepy. If you're a player watching that, do you go, okay, yeah, this is great, we got a player's coach? Or is it, what the heck did we get ourselves into with the cringeworthy response of the press conference?
You know, it's a big difference when you jump from being a coordinator to a head coach, right? When you're a coordinator, you can be a little quirky. You can do some things. You're not under the spotlight. When you're a head coach, everything is magnified. People are looking into what you're doing and looking at what you're saying. So when you say one little clumsy thing out there, it's going to get amplified, right? Was it corny a little bit? Yes, I think it was. I think it was maybe trying a little bit too hard to be cool, to fit in.
Very college-like, you know?
It is very, very much like, and two, you gotta understand, man. You as a head coach and a leader of a team, you don't have to force anything on anybody. People are trying to win games, and they want a leader. They want somebody to lead that team. You don't have to do anything extra, try to rile people up and get the fans and the people on your side. Because if that's not you, that's the problem. It comes across. It comes across. You're trying too hard. That's what it seemed like, you know, when he did that.
He's Sean Merriman, and he's here courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline for the most diverse list of well over 1,000 Super Bowl props, including MVP length of the MVP, length of national anthem, close to 100 Taylor Swift-related props, broadcast odds, game and player stats, and much more. Once again, that's BetOnline. Make sure you check it out. Sean Merriman, thank you.
You got it, man. Hey, we got a big fight Friday, February 7th in Long Beach, California. Make sure you guys download Lights Out Sports TV. It's obviously my free ad-supported streaming platform. It's available on all smart TVs, iOS and Android. But we got a couple guys in this card. I think it will take off to the UFC. So make sure you guys check out Lights Out Extreme Fighting 22, February 7th.
Lights Out Extreme Fighting. Also, bet online. Make sure you check out all the good stuff that Sean Merriman has cooking. All righty. Thank you so much, Sean. There he is, Sean Merriman, joining us on the show. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. We're actually going to do some hoops on the other side. We got to get into Jimmy Butler as he'll get traded. The question is to where. There's one destination that stands out to me. And also, could we see the length of NBA games actually getting shorter? We'll get into all that on the other side.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.